If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd just like to finish our little, what would I call it, outline study on Nehemiah. We haven't gone into very much detail, and really when I came up, I thought, oh, probably finish the book, probably get through all the chapters. And here we are in chapter 6. But that's okay, because that's really a line of demarcation in the book of Nehemiah. He completes at the end of the 6th chapter the completion of the wall. He had been given the task to do by God. The Lord had given him that burden and pressed upon his heart, this is my call over your life. So he forsook his nets, or his cup-bearing job. He left everything that he had. He left his jewelry shop. He left everything that he had to just step out and to follow the call of God. But he didn't know how to accomplish it. Nobody does. You don't know how to accomplish it either. You don't know where to start. You don't know how to start. The only thing you know is that God has called me, and now I need to follow at his call. Where I'm going, I don't know. Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. But he knew that he was called by God, and so he went by faith. And that's how we all do. We all go by faith. We've been likening Nehemiah to Brother Hans Waldfogel, believe it or not. And Uncle Hans went out by faith, not knowing whither he went, but knowing that God had called him. So he left his jewelry store. He left his working at the craft. And he went to follow Jesus and just follow the call of God over his life, as Nehemiah did. Well, you remember the story, and we won't go through all the details, but the provision was made in phenomenal ways. Ways beyond what he could have even thought for. The wicked king is going to pay my bill and get all the materials and give me safe passage. And the wicked king is going to send me back with an escort. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. But isn't God amazing? And if we follow him in doing his will step by step, you know, he may not lead you year by year or even day by day, but step by step, your path might unfold. And it's always safe to follow the will of God and the call of God. So Nehemiah is finding that out. So he gets to where he's going. He sees the situation. He's overwhelmed by it. It's a disgrace, is the words that he used. It's a disgrace. These walls are in shambles. Everything's ripped down, torn apart. It's a disgrace. But he rallies some people around him, and I'm sure that was also by the Spirit of God. It doesn't say it, so I don't know for sure, but I believe he couldn't just have that much persuasion, as eloquent as he may have been and as persuasive as he may have been, how to win friends and influence people. Maybe he read the book, but I don't think that would have helped him either. This was a task that nobody in their right mind would want to do. It was at risk of your own life. But he called them to work. Let's work. Let's build. Let's go. And they did. And the people had a mind to work. Oh, and they built up right where they were. They built up the walls because it was ruined. It was in shambles. The walls of their own homes. The walls of their own hearts. The walls around their own minds. The walls around their church. They built up the walls. And they worked at it. And then they had the opposition. And they had fights on their hands. They had persecution verbally. They had it physically. They had problems internally. Oh, every place you look were more problems, grief, more problems. But they did not stop. Nehemiah said over and over again, "But remember me, Lord. Lord, help me, Lord." And on in these little stories that we read on the way. Now we get to the end of the whole story. The wall, verse 15, the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul, in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid, and they lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. They all lost their self-confidence. You remember, they were trying to get Nehemiah to lose his self-confidence. They were trying to get Nehemiah to never think it could ever happen. that if a fox walks on top of that wall, it's going down again. And you're never going to get rid of all the rubbish and rubble. And they tried to discourage Nehemiah. But now, after now, it's all completed. The work has been done. The capstone has been put on. There are no capstones on the walls, I understand. But the capstone on the temple was put on, we read, with shoutings of grace. Grace. God's done this thing. We didn't do it. We didn't build the wall. We helped. We cooperated. We had a little part to do it. We're co-laborers and co-workers together with God to the building up of his kingdom. And if anything is ever accomplished because or through your life, it's all to the praise and all to the glory of God. I've said many times before, if anything's accomplished through my life, it's in spite of me, not because of me. Because how weak a vessel we all are, how frail we are, how prone we are to leaking and not doing well or missing our cue or blunders and mistakes. But in spite of ourselves, in spite of our shortcomings, if we just follow the call and the will of God, he can take the clay jar and the clay pot and he can fill it with himself and he can use it for his honor and for his glory. And so we, not me, not I, look what I've done. So we completed the work and the task that the Lord had given us to do. And we were faithful to the call. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is, second verse, it is required of a steward. And that's all Nehemiah was. That's all Brother Hans was. That's all any of us are. We've been given the manifold grace of God. We've been entrusted with something that God has entrusted us with. And it's precious. But we're only stewards. And it is required of a steward that he be found faithful. 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 That should be written around or on your forehead of your when you get up tomorrow morning. Faithful. Faithful to the trust. Faithful to the task. Faithful to serving and living for Jesus today. Faithful. It's required of a steward that he not be found successful, whatever success is measured by, but that he be found faithful. In Matthew 25, Jesus talking, he says, and these are words that you and I want to hear, well done. Well done. I wonder what Nehemiah, I don't know, But I wonder when Nehemiah got to the end, I wonder if he heard, hey, Nehemiah, good job. Good job. Wouldn't that be worth it all? All the Sanballat, Gershom, Tobias, and all their pernicious ways of trying to defeat the work of God and the call of God, and all the hardships and trials that Nehemiah had to battle with. Good job, Nehemiah. Oh, I hope one day, I pray one day that by the grace of God, I'll hear those words. Good job. Good job. You were true. I didn't give you many talents. I didn't give you many abilities. You got two talents, then use the two that you got. You got one talent, then go use it for further my kingdom. You got five talents, then use all five of them. And don't compare yourself to the two talent or the one talent guy. And don't be so lazy that you dig a hole and bury it and hide it in the ground. Use it. Be faithful to the trust that's committed to you. And then one day we'll hear those wonderful words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Revelation 2, one of the churches that are written to by the Holy Spirit, the word there is, be faithful until death. Now that doesn't necessarily mean be faithful because you're about ready to lose your head. And so when you face the opposition and they come with the flames to light you on fire. That not necessarily what that means. There was persecution there, for sure. But it could also be just be faithful to all the days of your life. Be faithful not to the part where the walls are built but the gates are still destroyed. Be faithful to putting up the gates. We left the gates off yesterday, but by the time we get to today, apparently the whole thing is done. The job has been completed. It's finished. Be faithful to the very end. And then you'll enter in to that joy. And then you can rest. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. You know, the descriptions that I've always heard, especially when I was young, and even now that I'm still young, the description that I hear about heaven, I'm not very fascinated by it. I don't really want wings and halos. I don't want a harp, please. I don't want a harp. I don't want to sit in church all day, every day, and just worship him. I like going to church and I like worshiping the Lord, but I want to play basketball. Right, Stefan? I've told my boys when I had a Sunday school class years ago, I said they've got fiberglass backboards and golden hoops in heaven. It's not going to be a boring place. It's going to be, oh, whoa, did you see that? Whoa, look at that. Meteor showers. Northern light. Whoa, throughout the ages of eternity. It's going to be a blast. I don't know what it's going to be like. Jesus will be there. Others that have gone before will be there. But it's going to be wonderful. I mean, if Earth, six days he made this place. The whole Earth, the universe. And he's been working on heaven for how long? I mean, imagine. I can't. I can only imagine. What's it going to be like when we get there? Oh, but we need to be faithful. True. I also believe there are gradations in heaven. Maybe different levels. Maybe a different amount of rewards that one will receive. You give a cup of cold water in his name, you won't lose your reward. If you serve one of these, the least of these, my brethren, if you take care of them when they're in prison or when they're needy or hungry, you have your reward. You get your reward. You get your reward for the way that you live here on earth. Be faithful to the trust. And if he's given you much, use much. If he's given you little, use little. But whether large or small, little or much, be faithful and use what he's entrusted to you to further his kingdom, and do it until it's finished, till the job is completed. In Acts chapter 20, let me read it to you, and if you want to turn with me to Acts 20. Words of the Apostle Paul, he's getting ready to leave Ephesus. And he charges the elders in Ephesus, and he tells them, when I leave, grievous wolves are going to come in among you, not sparing the flock. And then they tell him he's going to get in trouble if he goes to Jerusalem, and we don't want you to do all that. And in chapter 20, in verse 22, now compelled by the Spirit, Paul says, compelled by the Spirit, I got a burden to go to Jerusalem now. The Lord's wanting. Calling, I've got to be faithful to the trust. So now I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I don't know what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. If I go to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit, that's a pretty reliable source. The Holy Spirit tells me that bonds and afflictions, that's what I'm walking into when I walk into Jerusalem. But he goes on, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. That's all I want to do. I want to finish the task. I want to finish the work that the Lord Jesus has given me. I'm not finished yet. There's still more for me to do. There's more labor for me to expend. There's more jobs he has commissioned me to do. And I feel the compulsion in my soul by the Holy Spirit. I have to go to Jerusalem. I know what awaits me. I know what they're saying. I understand that. But don't rob me of my joy. Because my joy is to finish the work, to complete the task, and to be faithful to the trust. I want to finish what God has given me to do. And you know that in Jerusalem, he finished. He finished physically. He finished spiritually. He finished. It was over. And when he writes to Timothy, the last epistle that Paul wrote, in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, he says, I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. I have finished my course. I've completed the work. There's nothing left for me to do, Tim. I'm done. I'm about ready to check out. My life is being poured out now as an oblation. It's an offering. I don't have many more days left here on this planet Earth. But, oh, I have finished the work that he's given me to do. You know, I pray that God will help every one of us. Wherever you are, whatever you're called to do, wherever the challenges come, that you'll face the challenges not with fear, but with faith and trust, that will stand, and having done all, that will stand, that will be faithful even to the death, and that we will finish the task and the work that he's given us to finish. I finished my course, and then what does he say? Now you know what I'm going to go get? I'm going to get a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to give to me. But not to me only. No, not just to me. But to everybody that loves his appearing. Oh, thank God, one day. You ever sing the song, "When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown." And I don't know what you'll do with yours, but I think I'll take mine off and I'll cast it at his feet. All praise, all glory, and all honor go to him. And oh, what a privilege you and I have to finish, and to finish well. Uncle Hunts, along with Nehemiah, finished the task. The legacy isn't a wall that he built. The legacy is Pilgrim Camp. The legacy is people from all over the world that have come to faith in Jesus Christ, that have given their lives for the sake of the gospel and the call of God. Uncle Hunt said before he passed away, he said to his nephew, Brother Edwin, he said, "When I die, I don't want anybody to make up one of those folders for me with my picture on it, and the date of my birth, and the date of my death. And then underneath it, the scripture verse, I have kept the faith and finished the course, and henceforth." I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. You can get rid of my picture, and you can get rid of that verse. You can tell him when I was born, and you can tell him when I died. But I don't want any more than that. He said, I'm going to leave the assessment to the righteous judge. I'll let him determine whether I have finished my course and whether I've kept the faith. When he traveled to Europe and he went overseas, he would never let his picture be put on the billboard. Here's the evangelist from America, Hans Rudolf Waldfogel, coming to town. You can come and hear him. He didn't want anybody to hear him. He wanted to lead people to the fountain. And he told us often, if your ministry doesn't lead people to the fountain, you failed. If you've led people to yourself, to your church, and made a name for yourself, and you've got your picture in blaze. Now, I'm not saying that everybody, if they have their picture, that they're wrong. But that's what the Lord led Uncle Hunts to do. I want the righteous judge to assess whether I've finished my course, whether I've kept the faith. Now, I can make the assessment, and I can say, Uncle Hunts, I think you did. From what I can see, but I'm not the judge. He is. And maybe you could look at my life or your life or his life and make an assessment, but we're not the judges. He is. In closing, there's someone else that I know finished their course. And he's the one that we really want to follow, not Nehemiah. Not Uncle Hunts. But in John's Gospel in the 19th chapter, Jesus was given a job to do by his Father. He was given a bunch of talents, a lot of them. But he was faithful to the trust. He never said things that he shouldn't have said. He didn't go places he shouldn't have gone. He was in perfect compliance to the will of his father. And he did the work that his father had given him to do. There was a time in his life right near the end when he said, "Father, if it's possible, this cup, let it pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will be done." There are oppositions. There are Sanballats, Tobias, and Gershoms. There are problems and difficulties. But not my will, Father. I'll drink the cup if that's what you'd like me to do. If that's your will, I want to finish the task. Jesus could have come and he could have taught well and he could have healed bodies and he could have walked on water and turned water into wine and done everything that he did. But if he didn't finish the task, you and I wouldn't be here this morning. We might be talking about a great teacher and a guru that we follow, but we wouldn't be talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we wouldn't have anybody following him in baptism. But oh, thank God that he finished the work that was given him to do. How do I know? Because when he hung on the cross, he cried out, as you recall, "It is finished." And he wasn't talking about his life. That was to come soon. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." That was the end of his life. What was finished? His life? No, I don't believe so. "Father, I think I've achieved now what it was that I've come into this world for. I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. I've come to give my life a ransom for many. I've come to give myself. I don't count this body dear unto myself. I'll give it up. Low in the volume of the book it's written, a body you've prepared for me. But that body is bruised and it's broken because it pleased the Lord to bruise him." And Jesus was willing to go through all the opposition and face the opposition of sinners and the taunts and the jeers and wherever else it was. And he got to that place in his life when he cried, "It's finished. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fulfilled the task." And to this very day, to this very day, just as we could say with Brother Hans Walfogel, the fruit of his labors is still following. The fruit of his labors is still following. But with Uncle Hans, it's a drip and a drab. It's a little here and a little there. But with the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, oh, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I believe the Lord is pleased this morning with Shen and Young. I believe that rejoices the heart of our Father. I believe there's joy in heaven when there are those, young or old or whoever they may be, who count the cost and who are willing to pay the price, no turning back, and to finish their course. Not to the strong is the battle. Not to the swift is the race, but to the true and the faithful. Victory is promised through grace. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, that every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter how old we get, we haven't finished. We've still got doors to put up. There's still more yet. We need to still go to Jerusalem. I know it's going to get difficult, and it shouldn't be. I should be retired now. I shouldn't have to face this now at this juncture and stage. But I'm willing to go because I want to be faithful to the trust that's been given to me, and I want to finish my course. Lord, thank you for Paul that these little kids have been learning about. Now write those lessons into the hearts of these boys and girls. And into our hearts too. We thank you for Nehemiah, who didn't just start but finished and built, and those that worked with him. And Lord, write those lessons into our hearts too. We thank you for the story of Uncle Hans, for the truths that he taught. We thank you most of all for the life that he lived and the example that he was. And he being dead yet speaks. We pray that we might hear in eloquent tones him preach, speak, call. We're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those that are in the grandstands cheering us on, helping us to be faithful. Lord, may we hear their call when we get faint, when we get weak and tired. And may we hear their call, oh, to follow on, to press on. Don't give up. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. Oh, Jesus. Now, Lord, it comes to us because we're here today in this generation. And Lord, we pray that we would too also be faithful. Lord, to be faithful to the trust that you've committed and to finish the work that you have for us. Oh, Lord, give us grace. Give us grace, we pray. Amen. Amen. I think it's in our white book, that song. Is it? Not to the strong is the battle, swift is the race. Number 18. Let's stand together and sing number 18. After this third stanza. Tonight we have our meeting. There's no DVD this afternoon, but tonight, 8:15, our evening service, and for many of you, our closing service. And you will be given, if you'd like to, an opportunity to thank the Lord in a word of testimony. Of course, nobody needs to or has to. We want the Lord to have his way. But if there is something on your heart you'd like to thank him for his goodness, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And if you feel that you'd like to do that tonight, you'll be, as I say, given that opportunity. Let's sing that last verse. Conquering now and still to conquer, he's the ruler of all. Granting their scepters, all shall perish. Granting their splendor shall fall. Yet shall the armies thou leadest, faithful and true. With their warfare is past. Not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, but to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise your name,
praise
God.
Your will and your will and your
hallelujah.
Will.
Oh,
Jesus, we take help today.
Thank you, Lord.
You are victor, Lord.
Jesus, we praise
by your grace. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Dear Father, we're so thankful that you give us the opportunity to participate in your kingdom, Lord, that you have a work for each of us to carry out, Lord. Lord God, that we are not bystanders, Lord God, but we are participants in building your kingdom here on this earth, Lord. And we recognize that the task is too great. We recognize what you place before us is more than any of us truly can handle, even with the talents that we have. And yet we know, Lord God, that by your power and by your strength and by your spirit, Lord God, we can do the work that you have placed in front of us and called us to do, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that as we've heard and as we've studied about Nehemiah, you would help us to be faithful, Lord, in the face of adversity, that you would help us to be faithful, Lord God, in the face of difficulties that might come our way. And Lord God, I just pray that you would help us to be faithful in our lives. Father, as we are thinking in these last couple of hours, Lord, as we're here on camp perhaps, as we're going to be going back to our regular schedules and our regular environment, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us to take and to be changed, Lord God, and to do the work wherever in the world you've placed us. Help us to do that work and to be faithful, Lord God. Oh, it's all of our desires, Lord God, to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Oh, Lord God, help us. Strengthen our hands, Lord God. Help us to strengthen each other's hands, to come alongside one another and to encourage one another, that the work might be done for your honor and for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're dismissed.